Good evening. We took our young ones mini golfing today, and some of you may laugh at me, but I'm exhausted. That used to not faze me. I could take kids golfing, and we could golf all afternoon, and I could golf all evening. And I think it's called. I was trying to avoid that word, but it was fun, and I think our children enjoyed it. And if you're ever in Mount Dora, they have a very nice little mini golf place. Charlie read our scripture for today. Thank you, Charlie. Matthew 25, starting with verse 31. It's interesting. If you ask people, particularly people who don't know a whole lot about Christianity, and you ask them, what would you think is the main thing about Christianity? You know, I think the answer would be feed the poor, visit, basically do good to people. And I always thought, you know, why do they give those answers? And then, but this parable lets us know, doesn't it? That's what Jesus was remembered for. Jesus was a person who did good and who sought out to help. And, you know, it's interesting. Did he help just Jewish people? You know, Jesus reached out even before the cross. He reached out to all people. He was even willing to help those of non-Jewish descent. And even though there's a lot in this sermon, I could probably bring four or five sermons just on this one parable, but I want to concentrate on one point. Which Jesus required of the disciples on Judgment Day. Isn't that amazing what he brought up on Judgment Day? Jesus here not only enforces the principle of giving, but he puts the principle within our reach as normal, everyday Christians. In every case, we see the help that was given was something simple, wasn't it? Visiting? Helping? Doing good? You know, things that we don't often think about as giving. When I say giving, what does a good Church of Christ member think on? Putting money into the collection plate. And that's not wrong. I'm not condemning that. That's good. But is that what Jesus mentioned in this parable? That I gave every first day of the week. Now, that's a good thing. I'm not condemning it. But I want you to see this point. Jesus didn't mention that, did he? Did he mention one thing about giving money in this parable? It was about little things. Little things. You know, a lot of times we say, I can't be a preacher. I can't be a missionary. I'm not rich, so I can't give a lot of money. There's just not a lot that I can do. Is that true? And what is considered a lot and what is considered a little in the eyes of God? Yet what the righteous did in this parable is what each one of us can do. How important is an act of kindness? How important is a telephone call to a sick member? How important is a little visit to the hospital? Pray with a brother or sister that's in the hospital. What about an invitation to a lost neighbor? To visit the service of the Lord. Now we may not ever know what good we did until Judgment Day. But if we do nothing, we can be assured of what will happen on Judgment Day. First, let us note who had done these good deeds were quite unaware of their goodness. Did you notice that? they were shocked. Jesus? When did we ever see you in jail? When did we see you hungry or thirsty or naked? When did we do all these things for you? I don't remember doing it. And what did Jesus say? If you did it, even for the smallest, least important of my brethren, you did it to me. You see, the first century Christian, go back even further, the apostles and the disciples who knew Jesus, do you think if Jesus walked the earth today, would we be good to Jesus as Christians? Oh, don't you think? You should be shaking your head yes. that's possible too. But I mean, as Christians, we would seek to do whatever we could for Jesus himself, wouldn't we? I'm assuming we would. But you know, we're misunderstanding something. Though Jesus may not be here physically, is Jesus among us? That's what Jesus is pointing out. Even though he is not here personally, Jesus is here just like he was back then. It's just that he's here in the form of his brothers. And he says, you helped them. And in helping them, you did these things to me. And those Christians were astonished because I bet you they had forgotten about the good little deeds that they did. You know, a kind word can go a long way in winning someone to Christ. A visitation in the hospital can go a long way in keeping someone within the church. A telephone call to a member who did not attend goes a long way. You know, I had noticed that someone had not been here for 3 Sundays. You know, I look at the attendance and I called them and, you know, they weren't here for 3 Sundays. And they said, you know, you're the first person to call us since those 3 Sundays. Now, I should have called early. I should have noticed after the 2nd Sunday. And I did. I just assumed that they would be here the next Sunday. Wrong, Monty. Call. But you see, their kindness was spontaneous. They performed acts of love unsolicited. And they were unaware that they were doing so much good. And that is the way it should be. And that's why they were shocked when the king rewarded them. Because they had forgotten those little things that they had done. You know, when we think of Christians, you know, and reward, what do we think on? Oh, he baptized hundreds. Well, that's not what Jesus looked for here, was it? Oh, they gave thousands of dollars. Is that what Jesus looked for here? No. They were praised for the little things. The Pharisees, when they gave, they tended to want to be seen. They wanted people to recognize how good they were. And you know what Jesus said about them? They have received their reward. And we looked at this once before. The Greek means that their bill has been paid in full. They got all they're going to get. They're not going to get anything more than the praise of men. What does that mean? They're not going to get anything from God for those actions, because they wanted the praise and their bill had been paid in full. They will receive no other reward. We are taught that our giving today must be such that the left hand does not know what the right hand is doing. What Jesus said, though we misunderstand this. In Matthew 6, verse 3, Jesus said, or 3 and 4, but when you give to the needy, and who are we giving to? The needy. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. For the right hand to give without the left hand knowing it refers more to our motives in giving. That is to say, the right hand should give so unpretentiously and with so little desire for credit that the left hand doesn't even notice what just happened. It doesn't know what the right hand just did. The righteous in the parable had done good, but they scarcely recognized that as something of great importance. But the most remarkable thing in this parable is that the people who gave so generously did not know that they had really given to Jesus. Well, I just said a kind word to the neighbor. I just gave a meal to the neighbor kid whose parents weren't home. I didn't realize I was giving to Jesus. They said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and give you food? Or when did we see you thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you alone and away from home and invite you into our house? When did we see you without clothes and give you something to wear? When did we see you sick or in prison? They didn't realize what they had been doing all those years. And here was Jesus' reply. I tell you the truth. Anything you did for even the least of my people here, you also did for me. What a startling revelation it was for them to learn that they had actually ministered to Jesus Christ personally. The parable poses a situation that every person needs to contemplate. Jesus may not be here physically, but Jesus is here in the form of His brothers, no matter how big or how little. What we do or what we do or don't do to Jesus Christ. God the Almighty does not need us to give Him anything, does He? What can we give Him that would mean anything? But what we give? Who does need something from us? Is it not the least of these? A brother who needs help, or even a stranger who comes through town. Jesus says, that's me. When you do something for them, you're doing it for me. That's where God needs our help, in these practical things that sometimes we ignore. You know, we in America have some bad attitudes, in my opinion. We expect people to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, don't we? We expect people to help themselves. You know, that was the thinking of the great philanthropist. So they gave all these huge amounts to build huge libraries that people could go and study and learn how to be a better citizen. But you know, sometimes it's not quite so easy to be a good citizen, is it? Sometimes people need help because they're stuck in quagmire, and it's kind of hard to pull yourself out of sand or a swamp you're stuck in and sinking in. You know, we should be thankful that God does not have the opinion that many Americans have, let them pull themselves up by their bootstraps, because how many of us would be here today if that were God's attitude? You ever think about that? Clearly, if we fail the least of these, we have failed Christ. That was the very thing that those who were rejected couldn't understand. They too ask, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or alone and away from home and without clothes or sick or in prison? When did we see these things and not help you? I'm pretty sure these people, had they actually seen Jesus in any of these situations, would have helped him. But Jesus answered them a little differently, didn't he? When you didn't do it to the least of these, my brethren, you didn't do it to me. You know, we don't mind helping friends, do we? We don't mind helping our fellow Christians, too, at times. Who is it we have trouble wanting to help? Isn't it the people out on the streets? The people who come to the door of our houses or to the church building? You know, that was one thing that scared me when we first moved back here from Germany. Have in the middle of the night someone come knock on the door and ask for food. I was scared at first. You know, what's going on here? This happened to me in Germany. And Mario and I, we would always prepare them some food and give it to them. And yes, that meant they would probably come back more often. But do we have the right to tell them just plainly to go away? Is that Christian? It's sad to think that there was a time in history when we rejected Jesus and crucified him. And I think many of us sitting here today might say kind of what Jerry just said a while ago. You know, oh, I would never have rejected the Lord. I would never have cried, crucify him, crucify him. But is that really what we would have done? We don't know. You're not there. And we can't be there. But how are we treating the least of them? How do we handle them? But it does not help for us to say we would have handled differently if we're not ready to handle different today. Jesus came to men then, and he comes to us today just in different form. He has been here in Plymouth and in Apopka and in Zellwood. You don't live in Zellwood anymore. Where do you live now? Mount Dora. Lake Ola. How do we treat him? How have we welcomed? I'd like to read a poem written by a man. His name is G.A. Studdard Kennedy, and he's from Birmingham, England. And I found this in a book on parables. But I found this poem interesting. When Jesus came to Golgotha, they hanged him on a tree. They drove great nails through hands and feet and made a Calvary. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. Red were wounds and deep, for those were crude and cruel days, and human flesh was cheap. When Jesus came to Birmingham, they simply passed him by. They never heard a hair of him, they only let him die. For men had grown more tender, they would not give him pain. They only passed on down the street and left him in the rain. Still, Jesus cried, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And still it rained the winter rain and drenched him through and through. The crowds went on home and left the street without a soul to see. Jesus crouched against a wall and cried for Calvary. And in the final day of the lament, many will be the lament expressed in this parable. Lord, we didn't know that it was you. Can we help everyone in the world? No. but we can help those who come seeking help. We don't know what that might lead to. Might lead to nothing, but then it might lead to their salvation. We are not the ones to judge who deserves and who doesn't deserve. What's our job? To give as God has given. Maybe there are some here who would need the prayers of the church to correct their lives and to become more like Jesus. And maybe there are those here tonight who have not yet put on Jesus in baptism. That also is the time. It's never too late until Jesus comes. But now is the day of salvation. Come as we stand and sing.